Okie doke.
Debbie's back.
Debbie's back.
Vinny's back.
Vinny's are back. Kaz, you back?
Yes, I am.
Okie doke. Well, we'll start the service then. I know that Benny has spent some time preparing to speak to us and been praying that God would give him words that we need to hear. So let's put him up to God that he would get the encouragement and the strength he needs to speak those words that we need to hear, and that once again our ears would be open, that what we need to hear we would understand. Now I'll give this to Benny.
Thanks, Johnny, and I appreciate everybody's prayers. The things that have been going through my mind have really centered a lot around recent current events, and some of the things that are going on, which really comes down to how do we prepare ourselves. And you know, Johnny, I was listening on the conversation that you and Kaz had, that, you know, talking about what the point is of the gospel. You know, what does grace really mean? And so today, my stuff, a lot of it focuses directly on the words that Jesus spoke. But I'm going to start off in 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, because it talks a lot just about how do we prepare ourselves, which is really how do we train ourselves to think so that we can be open to the things that the Lord would have us to do. And I'm going to start in the second chapter of 2 Timothy with the 11th verse. And I'm going to go down to the 26th is my plan. Excuse me. It is a faithful thing, for we be dead with him, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, you know, in those few verses there, he's getting us right into the heart of it, is that to a great extent, our agreement, our covenant with the Lord is to some extent a reciprocal arrangement. But there's only a limitation to that reciprocity, because when it gets to the point where if we simply choose not to believe, he doesn't not believe in us, because he knows us, he created us, and he cannot deny himself. So, you know, it becomes a statement of, if we're faithful, then he will help us. If we turn away, he can't help us, because that's the rules he set for himself. But if we choose not to believe altogether, that doesn't alter anything. He's still there. He's still faithful. All we have to do is turn and acknowledge him, and once again, he's available to us. I'll go on with the 14th verse. So these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, you get into these arguments over doctrine, it doesn't really do anybody good, and in fact it discourages the people that hear you argue. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
When you were talking about, like, about the meek, and if we were to believe, then we'll be meek for the master's use, does that also have to do with what we learned in, like, when we were kids in Bible school, how we plant the seed in our heart, and if the seed is good, then it will grow and flourish and all that?
Yeah. It's you plant that seed of faith, because when you start, you don't know everything, you don't understand everything, you just know a little bit. But you believe, and that little bit of belief grows, and as you study and learn more, it grows more. And this is what he's saying here, is that, you know, and we'll read a little bit more about it, because I'm going to go read the parable of the sower in a little bit, but he's talking about people want to put value on things, and you have these vessels of gold, of silver, of wood, and of earth.
Yeah.
But then it also says some to honor and some to dishonor. So it's not what the material is that it's made of. It's what the use of the vessel is that determines whether it's an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel, not the appearance of the vessel.
So
it's, you know, it's what we do with ourselves, because, you know, let's face it, there's rich people, there's poor people. And they can either be good rich people, or they can be bad rich people, or they can be good poor people, or they can be bad poor people.
So, with the vessels, so, like, if one of the vessels is, like, okay, money, so money could be, like, say if you were a rich person and you had the money, so it would be a bad vessel if you, like, obsessed over it, and, like, it was, like, an idol to you?
Well, if it stands between you and God, that's true, but see, then that's the use of the vessel. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the vessel as people.
Okay.
You know, and there's going to be rich vessels, there's going to be middle class vessels, there's going to be poor vessels, there's going to be the absolute impoverished vessels. But, you know, you could have an impoverished vessel that makes money an idol. You can have a rich vessel that makes money an idol. It's the use of the vessel. It's what, in this case, you know, as vessels, we have to make ourselves available to the use of the master, as opposed to trying to decide our own use.
Okay.
You know, there's another scripture where it talks about laying your all on the altar, which says, instead of trying to control your life so much, why don't you just try to control yourself and do what's right and ask God to control your life and see what happens.
Okay.
So, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's start back again at the 22nd. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender stripes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So, you know, the other thing here is he's putting on us the responsibility to help each other, because there's times that people fall into temptation and they fall into sin, and when they get there, being cold and heartless towards them doesn't help them get out. I mean, it's the meekness and instruction here so that God has an opportunity to get into their heart and give them the desire to repent so that they can come back to the truth and that, you know, they can be recovered. And it's a ticklish thing because we get into these situations as human beings, and the funny thing is that the experience I've had is when you fall into temptation, then you don't want to pray because you kind of know you're in trouble and you're not really so sure you want to hear about it. So you don't go to the Lord because you don't really want him to say, "Hey, Benny, you know, you're messed up. You got to get your life straight and, you know, let me help you out here." We kind of want somebody to say, no, your life's fine. You're doing good. And so we hurt ourselves two ways. One, because we're tempted, and two, because we don't want to really get corrected, and we kind of leave off going to the source and getting the correction that we need. So we kind of hurt ourselves. I want to jump over also to John, you know, St. John, the 15th chapter. And there's really a lot here, but I want to kind of read the end of the 15th and the start of the 16th to pull some things in here. And I'm going to have to start with the 12th. I hate to back up that far, but I want to start there because we need to start with that commandment. Because even though we think that that's an easy one, that's probably one of the toughest commandments we have. So I'm going to start with the 12th verse of the 15th chapter of St. John. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. For if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written, in their law they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth forth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the sin of the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I'm going to go ahead and break off there. But it is, you know, Jesus was trying to teach him here how there were going to be both positive and negative consequences from being his friend. But he didn't want to lie to him. He didn't want to tell him, hey, everything's going to be rosy. He wanted him to understand that clearly that there was benefits and there were going to be some detractors, but that he wanted them to understand that it was worth it. The travel, the trip, the effort was worth it. And I guess that's really what I want us to understand this morning, is that everything isn't rosy, but it's worth it. The trip is worth the effort. I want to jump over to 3 Nephi and into the 8th chapter. And this is kind of a little bit of the charge that he gave to his disciples. And, you know, they had the sacrament. He instituted that practice here. And when they were done there, I'm going to start with the 39th verse of the 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi. And when the disciples had done this, Jesus said unto them, Blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling my commandments, and this doth witness unto the Father that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name, and ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood which I have shed for you, that you may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my Spirit to be with you. Again, this is that Comforter that he spoke about over in John. And I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall do these things. And if ye shall always do these things, blessed are ye, for ye are built upon my rock. But whoso among you shall do more or less than these are not built upon my rock, but are built upon a sandy foundation. And when the rains descend and the floods come, and the winds blow and beat upon them, they shall fall. And the gates of hell are already open to receive them. Therefore blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest you be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set you an example. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, you shall meet together oft, and you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But you shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out, and if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye should hold up, that which you have seen me do. Behold, ye see that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye have all witnessed. And ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world, and whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation. And I'm gonna break off there, because he goes on into some other items, but the key here is that Jesus wanted his people to be open. He wants his people to be willing to teach. He wants, you know, especially his ministry, but not limited to his ministry. There's times when we get the idea that, well, the ministry is supposed to do all these things. Well, the ministry preaches and encourages, and there's some ordinances of the gospel that the ministry performs, but all believers have the responsibility to teach, to pray, and to shine this light. And the light, you know, we talk about our light so shine. And the light that shines out of us is Jesus. And that He's the light that we hold up. He's a light that shines through our lives if we're faithful. And we need to keep that in mind as we move through our lives so that we're focused not on ourselves and how wonderful we are, but focused on trying to demonstrate what Jesus has taught us and the responsibility that he's put on us. And now I want to go back into Matthew in the 13th chapter. Because there's lots of things that happen in the world, and there's good things and bad things. There's people that come along and are faithful for a while and fall away, and there's people that come along and they struggle and they struggle, but they eventually become the vessel that God intended them to be. So let me start with the first verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, for they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I'm going to stop just a little bit there before we get into, you know, where we're going next, because there was a huge group of people here. And the reason he was talking to them the way he talked was because apparently the vast majority of them were there because of the curiosity. They were just there to see this sideshow called Jesus. They weren't there to hear and understand. They were just there because it was interesting. It was like good entertainment to them. And so he spoke to them this way so they could kind of look at each other and say, What? I don't even know what this guy's talking about. He must be crazy. And move on. But then the people who really understood would understand that he's talking about behavior and about a way of life. So, you know, here we are. I'm going to jump back to the 16th verse here. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, the ones that, you know, the birds just immediately ate it. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. And it was always interesting to me that he pointed out the fact, and this gets back again to our vessels, some gold, some silver, some wood, and some clay of earth. Because all those who are faithful don't have the same productivity levels. And what Jesus wants us to understand is that he's not measuring us like we do in our jobs on how much productivity we have. He's measuring us on our faithfulness and that we achieve what we're capable of. And the other thing I would caution all of us is to not say, well, I'm doing my 30-fold. Well, you might be one of the 60-fold guys. So you're only doing half your job. And so the key is to always do your best in whatever endeavor it is. And then I want to read this next parable because this is another one that I think is very important to us, because there's so often that we see things and say, ah, you know, there's an injustice, or there's a sinner among us, you know, and we want to turn almost like the Jews were, you know, crucify him. And this next parable tells us that that's quite simply not wisdom in the vast majority of cases. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now this is the 30, 60, and 100-fold guys, right? That's the only guys we're talking about now. It's good earth and it's good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he was trying to teach us the importance of understanding that trying to clean things up, sometimes we can cause damage, and we need to have patience and wait until it's time for the harvest. Because if we go around and uproot that good seed, then that becomes a responsibility to us. And we are to be the encouragers. I mean, we're here to, you know, we're the servants. The Lord has put out the seed, and our job is to help that seed grow, not only in ourselves, but in each other. And then let the Lord take the harvest in His season, not try to manage it in ours. I really appreciate everybody's attention. I hope I haven't put y'all to sleep. But, yeah, this is just something that's recently been on my mind, and I just wanted to encourage us and to reinforce to us that we remain committed to our sacred charge, which is to study, to love, to help, in spite of the destruction that we see going on around us. That we are not called to be destroyers, but we are called to be builders. So, with that, Johnny, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okie doke. And I did want to go ahead and go back and actually point to one of the items that you did read on. And that was back in Matthew 13, verse 10. The fact is that the disciples came back to him and said, "Why are you talking in parables?" So what we're also seeing here is he throws things out in a way that may not be easily understood, and part of what we need to do to prove that we are fertile ground is to come back and ask for understanding, not just listen to it and judge it at face value and go on. That's one piece of what you've said that I view as, you know, really important, is the necessity to go ahead and run through what we've heard, try to understand it, but then go back to God asking for help so that what winds up being our final understanding is more full. And thank you for your words, Benny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, Benny.
Okie doke. at this point, Patsy?
Yes?
Would you say the closing prayer for us, please?
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the lovely day and the blessings you give us each day. Thank you for our service and the opportunity to be together. Bless us and help us to be those builders that Betty spoke of, people that would build each other up around ourselves to help each other be strong in the Word, and to grow and to learn more and more, so that we would be better servants for you, Lord. Bless all the families and friends of ours, wherever they may be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for coming and dialing in.
I got a question, Johnny.
Yes.
I missed a lot of Sunday school. Did Jerry say how Amy's doing?
At this point, no, he didn't. She still stands in need of prayers, but she went to the hospital. There was quite a bit of, well, you've read, I'm sure, that there was quite a bit of swelling and pain.
Right.
She is doing somewhat better, but she's still got a long ways to go. You know, they were able to break apart the kidney stone, but she's still got quite a bit of it to pass. And so the doctors have given her pain meds. They're working a little bit, but not a lot. So the prayers are is that the swelling would go down so that she could go ahead and pass the pieces of stone, and then she could go ahead and completely recover.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Yep. I guess I should go on and say that because of the pain meds, she's pretty drowsy. So there's still an awful lot of work that Aaron's having to do, trying to, you know, help her and the kids, and so it's an extra point of work and stress for him as well.
Cindy could not be with Amy, and there was some tube that they talked about placing, and then it would be difficult and very painful for the tube to be administered and to be removed, and so Amy and Aaron opted for the drugs on Friday. We understand that point. I'm very thankful that Amy is close to a church, and I'm sure that Laura and Susie and other people are helping Amy. And I just feel this is such a very bad trial for Amy since Allie just had her first birthday yesterday. And so Amy's just sort of out of it and not even being able to celebrate her baby's first birthday.
Okay, well, we'll keep them in our prayers. I just wanted to make sure I knew the latest.
And Kaz, you still there?
Pardon me, John?
I was just wondering if you were still there. If you'd like to go ahead and talk later on this week, we can get together.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll call you later. Thanks again for allowing me to participate, and farewell to all.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Love
Bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Hey, Johnny?
Yes.
Johnny, hang on a second.
Okay.
I was going to give you my work email if you wanted to, that way you can, we can hook up and set a time to get on the phone.
Okay.
It is Debbie H. at J as in John, P as in Paul, firm.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right.
Have
Talk to you
one.
Later.
Uh-huh.
Thank
Bye-bye
you.
Now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.